Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This podcast is sponsored by Every.Black, Entrepreneurs Podcasting Network. Today's podcast is another interview session, and I'm happy to welcome to the podcast today Ms. Jo Heather Dotson. Ms. Dotson, nice to be with you today, and glad you're on the program.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me. I've been looking forward to this.
Well, you've been an entrepreneur for some time now. You're out of the Greensboro area. Actually, you gave me the town that you're from, which is not Greensboro. Actually, it's a little bit outside of the city. And as a matter of fact, I called you yesterday and you said you're in Liberty. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And how far is that from Greensboro?
Born and raised in Liberty.
Yeah, raised in Liberty.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm about 25 miles outside of Greensboro in Randolph County.
Okay.
And I spent my former career working in High Point, Greensboro, Winston-Salem, just the surrounding area.
Okay, so you are Tar Heel, and have you spent a lot of time outside the state?
I lived in Virginia for a couple of years. Actually, my address was Suffolk, and I worked in Norfolk for several years after I graduated from college. I went to UNC Greensboro and then lived in Virginia for a few years and decided, hey, you know, as I'm getting further in my career, I think I want to be back home close to family. So I moved back and thought, hey, if I'm going back, let's go all the way back. So I moved back to Liberty.
Exactly. Well, listen, before we really get started here, I'd like to recognize your friend, Sherry McManus. She actually referred me to you. And she and her husband, Lou, are life coaches as well. So you all have something in common.
We do. We do. I had the opportunity to hear them present and connect with them. I was very impressed with their practice. And like you said, I'm a coach also, entrepreneur, for several years now, and can't wait to share more about my story.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to ask you, and you can go into it in a little more detail. As you know, I was informed by you that you are a coach, and I have reviewed your website, and it's very impressive. But could you give our listeners to a certain amount of detail what you do in your business?
Absolutely. Yes, I had been a corporate communicator for most of my career, for over 20 years, and I knew the Lord was calling me to something else. And I actually had a coaching experience and as a client, and was so drawn in by the process of answers coming from within. That I knew that was what the Lord was calling me to do. And so I went through training and began coaching and eventually left my corporate position and launched out as an entrepreneur. I was raised by an entrepreneur. My father started his own business when I was 12 years old and got to kind of see what kind of life that was like. And it was something I had always held out for myself to have my own business. And so now I'm blessed and happy to say that I'm a credentialed coach through the International Coaching Federation, and my practice is called Your Christian Coach. And I work with entrepreneurs and individuals in the coaching process, which is a forward-thinking process. And as I said, one where answers come from within.
Well, that's a good description, but let me give you the definition of a life coach that I found in the dictionary. Actually, I found it on the web just recently. And it said it says that a life coach is a person who counsels and encourages clients on matters having to do with careers or personal challenges. Now, I've had a career in public education, actually for over 30 years. And what I'm doing now, as you may know, I think I told you that I'm an author at this point in my second career, you might say. And I don't have any personal challenges, you might say. So how would you convince someone like me that I could benefit from what you do as a client?
one of the things that drew me to coaching was my interest in continual growth. And it's called, a lot of people will use this phrase called a growth mindset. And there is always room for growth. And we may have reached a place where we feel, oh, I don't need major change in my life. But I do believe that we are called to continually grow, to continually move forward. And that's the beauty of coaching is, you know, I have some of my clients have been with me for years. And they show up for coaching and they may say, I'm not sure what I'm here to talk about today. And we get into it and we suddenly realize some life experience or a situation that they're walking through, we're looking at it and we're comparing it to maybe past situations, but how do they want it to be going forward? And we might hold it up to their values or to their life statement of, are they living in fullness? Is this situation aligning to those parts of them that are intrinsic that can't be changed? And that's the beauty of coaching, especially in terms of an ongoing practice of your life. It's moving forward, looking for those areas of growth. Even when you're not fully aware if they're there, the coach as a thinking partner can help you find that and move forward in it with just a real action plan.
Well, what you just described is, in fact, a life coach, the way I see it. But you mentioned something else that gives a more detailed description of what a life coach is about. And you touched on this actually just now. And that is the fact that, as I read over your website, you identify yourself as a whole life coach, a whole life professional coach, if I'm not mistaken. Tell us exactly what is that. And again, you may have touched on it just now when you gave your last answer.
Well, absolutely. It's a great question because sometimes when I say whole life, people go, well, what is that? And originally when I went into coaching, I thought, oh, I'm going to work with business professionals like I had been at that time in the corporate setting, and we would work on business situations. But what I found is that the clients would show up and we may be tackling something about the workplace or about, as an entrepreneur, maybe it's just how you run your business. But usually in some form or fashion, we work into, or their conversation goes into, well, what about how this affects my life, the parts of me that are outside of my work? And that's why I think purpose and values, those underscore every area of your life. It isn't just, this is the workplace me, and this is the life me. We are intertwined. We are a full being. And I believe we're body, soul, and spirit. We're all intertwined there. And so that's why I look at it in terms of whole life, because what's happening in your work life, your home life, your community, your service in your faith community, perhaps.
Well,
so it's a whole package.
Well, you mentioned purpose, and I also read in your bio that one of the areas of your coaching expertise is pursuing passion and purpose. Mm-hmm. So why do you think that our being passionate is so important in our business success?
Well, I believe that, you know, that passion is what gives you the spark to carry you through both the hills and the valley. And, you know, Psalm 57:2 says, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. And so when I find out my passion, and it's that spark that takes me through those good days and those bad days and keeps my footsteps moving forward. And passion and purpose just guide you in the choices that you make and the actions that you take. You know, knowing what you're passionate about is really helping you be an overcomer. And the other part of that, when you break it down into, oh, that sounds like really big stuff, Joe Heather, what about the day-to-day? But knowing what you're passionate about, what's your purpose, what are the values that you hold, these are the things that help you know what to say yes to, and they also help you know when to say no.
Well, you mentioned that these things, that is passion and purpose, can help you through the good times and the bad times. And certainly the time that we live in right now is complex, to say the least, and in many cases, even bad. I mean, we're going through a virus as well as civil unrest, which we'll touch on a little bit later. But how does a person within this kind of environment gain this passion that you're talking about?
One of the first things I do if I'm working with a client who has a faith belief is we always start with prayer, because in the Christian faith, it talks about, you know, James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God." And so we always start with that. Now, if you're not a person of faith, you can just simply move forward in other ways. But for this moment, I'm going to talk about you start with prayer. You cover it in prayer. And the other way that you move forward is reading the Word, keeping that as a regular part, and actually listening. Because, you know, in Christian coaching, and it is very different, Christian coaching, when I work with a client who has those Christian principles versus a client who does not, we can pull in that spirit, that faith element, where we cover it in prayer, we read the Word, see what does the Word have to say, what sparks in the heart of the client as we read through those words. And, you know, the godly counsel piece, which is inviting the Holy Spirit to respond, inviting maybe it's a faith leader in your community. Can they help guide you in your conversation, your thoughts? And so as a coach, you know, many times I'm the partner, I'm the thinking partner for that client. And we go into coaching holding some questions and talking about, and these are some questions that our listeners could jot down and actually spend some time meditating on and thinking about and journaling about. What's important to you? What do you love doing? You know, what is a must-have in your life? And if you don't have something that you feel like you love doing or something that sparks for you at this moment, think into your past. What was fun when you were a kid? You know, sometimes we look into the past to give us clues of what might you be passionate about in the process. So some of this is just a deep conversation that we have and space that we hold after covering it in prayer.
Well, doing something you love certainly would allow for passion to be a part of whatever it is that you're doing. Ms. Dodson, in addition to passion and purpose, you've also identified enhancing self-awareness as being important. What do you mean by that?
So, you know, when I talk about self-awareness, it's basically about your ability to consciously begin to be curious about yourself and aware of your thought processes and how you show up and relate to the world. So I'm going to give you an illustration that I use with my clients. So I want you to imagine an old car radio where you turn the dial to get to the station. And I say self-awareness is like this. The station is already there. It's already playing, but you just haven't tuned into it. So as you start to turn the dial of self-awareness, you can kind of tune into the station and you're recognizing your thought patterns. You're recognizing your behaviors and your habits. You have to turn that dial a little more. And as you start to be aware of how you're showing up in the world, you might see things that maybe make you uncomfortable or you weren't aware were there before. And the point of showing up in that way is to show up with compassion for yourself and to say, oh, wow, I see that now. I see the way that I'm speaking to others is making them shut down. And the dial of awareness, you keep turning it until it not only goes from I see it after the fact to I see my behavior as I'm doing it. And then we keep turning the dial until you can recognize the thought before you take the action, and that's your moment of choice. And so that's the path of self-awareness that, you know, we talk about. And again, if you're a person of faith, we're going to pull in the Holy Spirit to help you see yourself more clearly, because that's when you can be aware of any changes you might need to make, any enhancements you might want to do for yourself, because it just gets you in touch with yourself, helps you grow and change in that way that maybe you've held out for yourself, but you haven't known how to do it before.
Well, you're right. Identifying or being aware of your weaknesses as well as your strengths, that's very important, and it can assist you in moving forward and keep you out of a lot of challenges or problems that you might have, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. And so I agree with that. Now, you mentioned some other coaching areas. We've already mentioned two, passion and purpose. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, you mentioned those as being together and enhancing self-awareness. Do you want to touch on maybe a couple of others? Because I think you identified in your bio about five or six of those, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, another neat thing that I've been doing a lot of work around recently is digging into that values aspect. And so I mentioned it earlier, you know, those values are intrinsic to you. They are already there. It's not an aspiration of what you want to show up like in the future. It's actually, how do you show up now? And in coaching, we take the time to work through scenarios, to talk through experiences. It's a very strategic conversation, and it's ongoing, where we try to uncover those values that are just a part of how you show up. That's kind of, the purpose is a piece, but the values are also a critical piece. And you may say, okay, I value adventure, and but I keep seeing myself showing up in the world kind of hedging my bets. You know, we look for, all right, does that align? What's keeping it from aligning? Because when you can show up fully aware of your values, aware of your purpose that you're living to in life, it's amazing the difference it makes just in how you show up. Your stress level changes, your sense of peace changes, your confidence in the choices that you make change. So that's another key piece that I work with clients on, is the values piece.
Okay, well, that's great, and I would suggest to anyone to visit your website, and I'm sure you'll give that contact information before we finish the program today. And Ms. Dotson, we're going to go ahead and take a break now, and when we return, I'll ask you about your faith and especially how your faith works in the current environment that we're in this country. So to our listeners, stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Ms. Dotson, the first part of the interview that we've had, you talked about your business. And in the second segment, I'd like for you to address your faith. And I'd like to start with this particular question. And that is, how has your spiritual life contributed to any success that you've had in business? And I assume that it has had some effect.
Absolutely. I am a person of faith, and I do lift up every area of my life through my faith. And, you know, I kind of look at it like this. You know, in Genesis, God gives us a mandate to oversee all that is His while we're, you know, waiting for Christ's return. And so the work that I do, I have been given the skills and the abilities and the talents. The Lord has given them to me, and He's given me a purpose to walk forward in. And when I align to that, it is very natural for success to follow. When I have tried to work outside of that, which I have in my past, I have tried to work outside of that leading, and I haven't had success. And so for me, there is a deep-seated connection between my work and my business success and my faith. And I've heard other people say, well, look at the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, you know, where there's two servants who invest their talents, and they're rewarded. And they got different degrees of what we call success. Their return on their investment was different, but they were still both rewarded. And so that's the connection between putting in my effort, following the Lord's leading, taking the action that He's leading me to take, and then the success comes from that. And of course, there's more to this, but I'll pause there.
Okay. Well, you mentioned that God has indicated, or He says to us, to oversee all that He has given us, to oversee the things that He has given us in the world. But what's going on today with all the challenges, I'll put it that way, that we have in the world today to deal with, is pretty obvious that in many cases we have not done that. And in many cases, fear even has arisen in many people as we try to charter through this very complex world that we live in, as I mentioned earlier. And it brings me to this point. I looked at your YouTube channel, and by the way, there are a number of short videos up there, 2 to 3 minutes long, and that are very insightful, and I would recommend for anybody to visit your YouTube channel or website, however you can access these videos, because they're very insightful. And I looked at one in particular, and I thought I would address this today in this interview, and that is, the title of it is Faith Versus Fear, How to Overcome. And just talk briefly about that particular one in this climate that we have.
Absolutely. Well, an acronym had been given to me about fear: false evidence appearing real. And that's the case. And sometimes fear is real evidence, just like we're seeing in with the quarantine, with financial crises, with civil unrest. These things are real and they're out there. But one of the things that we've been practicing in our family is, where do we keep our gaze? And you can see the word gaze reference in Psalm 27:4. But am I raising my gaze to who is above what is happening in the world? And so that's where my faith, overcoming my fear, because we naturally, as human beings, we fall into fear. The question is, do I want to go deeper into it, or do I want to recognize, oh, I'm starting to feel fearful? I know early on in the quarantine, I had this fear that rose up in me of food instability. Would I have food to feed my children? What was going to happen to the U.S. food system? And it was a real fear, and I had to acknowledge it, and I had to recognize it, but I made a choice to not go deeper into it to a level of anxiety, but lift it up. And I kept my gaze on the Lord, and I said, okay, Lord, You know that I'm feeling afraid about this. I am not going to fall into it. I'm going to keep my gaze on You, and I'm going to walk forward. And part of that is also what I call, you know, as the Word says, the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so that renewal of my mind every day, every time I would feel the fear, I would turn it over to the Lord. Didn't mean that the fear never came back again. It just meant I kept turning to Him.
Well, let me ask you this. You mentioned, of course, we've been addressing fear, and you mentioned the civil unrest that we're having in the country right now, not to mention the pandemic. How do you feel about all of the things that are going on today, and how has your faith specifically contributed to your overcoming feelings of despair despite all the things that are happening today?
For me, I just got back into the Word pretty deeply. I mean, I have a reading plan, and that I participate in, and it's not a check the list. It's a, you know, actually reading to comprehend, to understand, to chew on as meat, as they would say. But I think the scales really tipped for me, you know, when the civil unrest and all that had happened, and just the sorrow of that. My sorrow was felt, could have overtaken me, right? Could have overtaken me at the sorrow and the sadness of seeing what was happening in my world. And then I went back and I said, wait, Lord, what is it that you have to teach me? And, you know, as I was reading the Bible, you know, I saw the evidence of a hateful, sinful choice all the way back into Genesis when Abel was wrongfully murdered. It happened from the beginning, these wrongful things. And it's something that I wish I could change the sinful state of the world and this fallenness and discrimination and inequity and all of the things that are happening. But I have to go, what can I control? Okay, I can control how I show up in the world. I can control how I teach my children to show up in the world. I can keep my gaze on the Lord. You know, looking to Micah 6:8 that says, you know, to seek what is good, to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly. You know, this is how I show up and how I react and how I support others.
Well, yeah, you mentioned the civil unrest and the example given in the Bible, the first murder, as a matter of fact, Abel's murder by Cain. And, of course, all the demonstrations and even rioting in many areas in this country and around the world, actually, was initiated by the killing of George Floyd up in Minneapolis a few months ago. It was a benchmark, just like the coronavirus was a benchmark. I think it started like in mid-March because me and my wife had attended a basketball tournament, and right in the middle of the tournament, we had to go home because it didn't complete because of the virus. And ever since then, we've been in pretty much isolation. And speaking of that, how have you been in this period of isolation?
Well, we took everything very seriously. Starting, like you said, in mid-March, my children were sent home from school, and my husband works for a global company. He was sent home to work, and we maintained, you know, and followed because, you know, we had obviously all never been in this situation before. So some of the strategies that worked for me was to keep my connections. Now, for me as a coach, I had been working on Zoom with clients, which, of course, Zoom is just a video platform, for years now. So that wasn't new for me. But I am a person who has, like, a thriving network of colleagues and friends and people that I met with face-to-face regularly. And so I had to shift all that online. And some of the other tactics that I took to keep the relationships, keep connections, because that's very healthy. I feel we are created to be connected, right? We are created to share our lives with others. And so we had what I called car talks, and we would actually drive to a friend's house. We would stay in our car, and they would come out onto their driveway, and we would visit from the car. I've had other situations. That was family, visiting with family. I would drive to meet a friend halfway, maybe in a parking lot of a store, and we would talk from car window to car window. I set up Zoom calls with friends, groups of friends, to hear about their life and to share, you know, how are we coping? So those were some of the ways, you know, I felt like keeping connections. I mentioned the renewing of my mind, you know, that was work that I had ongoing. And the other thing that was really a tactic that I employed during the pandemic and with the civil unrest was to turn away from sources of information that were causing me anxiety. And that might be television news. It might be inflammatory social media posts, things like that. Those were not serving me. And so I had to turn away from them and find other sources. Maybe I was just reading some headlines rather than watching the news. And the other thing that I think has been very helpful, and I've seen quite a few people doing this, is to just daily meditating on Psalm 91, where it talks about no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. And there's a lot more to that, too, but those were some of the strategies that I've been using.
Well, like you say, in order to get through all that's going on today, you have to develop some kind of strategy to overcome and to survive and to even take advantage in some cases of what has been happening in the world and in our country. We're going to go ahead and take another break because we're coming pretty close to the close of the show, Ms. Dotson. So let's go ahead with that break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. We're here with Ms. Jo Heather Dotson, an entrepreneur from the Greensboro, North Carolina area. And she's talking to us about her experience as a whole life coach. And we're adding a lot of the spiritual aspect to that as well as we continue and conclude this particular podcast. But what I'd like to ask you at this point, Ms. Dotson, is just to make you aware, this show is an inspirational show. At least it focuses on inspiration in terms of the experiences that people have from time to time that they view as unusual, extraordinary, and in some cases are miraculous. And those are the kinds of books that I write. And by the way, my website is williamporterlife.com if anybody would like to see that. But what I'd like for you to do at this point is to identify, if you can, any experience that you've had in the near or recently or even further back that you determined was definitely divine related, that God came in and did a miraculous kind of thing, or at least something that was very unusual. Have you had some of those experiences?
Oh, yes, I have. And I just, even having you ask me that question brings a smile to my face. One of the very first thoughts that flies into my mind as you asked me that question, it was actually not recent. It was probably 13 to 15, can't remember the exact time frame, but I had a close friend and colleague through the company I was working with at the time, who had been a smoker for 30 years. And for some reason, the Spirit led me to pray for her deliverance from that. And she hadn't mentioned it. I didn't know why I was being led to pray that, but I just said, okay, and I started praying. And of course, I did not say this to her, did not tell her about the leading. And all of a sudden, I was sitting in my office one morning, and she burst into my office and shut the door behind her, and then she burst into tears and looked at me and said, "The Lord told me I wasn't a smoker." Well, I wasn't quite sure what to say, and so I said, "I'm sorry, what now?" And she said, "The Lord told me I wasn't a smoker." And she handed me a bag, and I found out later it was filled with $140 worth of cigarettes and lighters. And she handed it to me, and she said, "I just don't even know what to do. What am I supposed to do now?" And I said, "Well, believe it or not, I've been praying for you to be delivered." And she was like, we talked about it, and she, we prayed, and she calmed down. Now, this is the miraculous part. She never, from the moment he said into her heart, "You're not a smoker," she never had one withdrawal symptom. And she had been smoking for 30 plus years. She didn't have any cravings. She had no headaches. Some people coming off of a nicotine addiction have swelling. She had nothing. She had no tremors, nothing. And her skin and hair and nails were just beautiful. She had never smoked a day in her life, which usually you can see the effects of long-term exposure to nicotine. And I had never seen anything like it. And it was so exciting. And I actually saw this person the other day, and she brought it up. She said, you know, I still get emotional when I think that, you know, the Lord loved me so much. He said, not only, you know, you are not a smoker, that he erased any trace as if it had never existed for her. And it was really neat to be a witness to that.
Well, that certainly was a miracle. There's no doubt about that. And again, I'm sure you've had other experiences as well. And we don't have time to go into all those or even some of those at this point because we're at the end of the program. But maybe you can come back at some point in the future and get more into detail about some of these other experiences that you've had. So we really look forward to that.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, or at least let me, well, let me ask you, do you have any other thoughts that you'd like to close your, our discussion with today?
Well, I just want to share, you know, the reason I'm so passionate about coaching is because I have been, you know, I work with a coach now. I believe in it. I'm a client, and I'm a coach to clients. And the reason I think it's so special, and I call it sacred space, is because how rare is it for us to stop and take a few minutes for personal development beyond a class, you know, looking more deeply. And I really feel like Jesus modeled this because he took time away from the hustle and the bustle of the crowd to get away, to have quiet reflection, to be rejuvenated. And coaching is that for me, and I hold that space for others. And it's just a joy if you've never had a chance to experience it. And I don't know if now would be a good time for me to share how people can get in touch with me.
Sure. Give your contact information. I was going to ask you that.
Absolutely.
Especially so your YouTube channel as well as your website.
Absolutely. My website is called yourchristiancoach.net. And you can find me by searching Your Christian Coach or Jo Heather Dodson, and that's J-O Heather Dodson. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and you mentioned YouTube, and you can find me by searching Your Christian Coach or Jo Heather Dodson on YouTube. And also, for those of that are listening, I have some free resources on my website that are around your purpose and your values. You can just go to yourchristiancoach.net and click on resources for those. They're free.
Well, I'll tell you, Ms. Dodson, today's interview session was just grand. A lot of useful information. I really appreciate you being on our program today, Storytelling Time. And I wish you well in your business ventures in the future. And so thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a joy to be here.
And I'd like to thank Every Dot Black Entrepreneurs Podcasting Network for sponsoring this show. And I'd like to thank our listeners for tuning in. And again, in closing, I'd like to say that whatever you may be going through, whether it's good or bad, just keep in mind, there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.